Blog Talk Radio.
Life, Wealth, and Wellness.
Show, and I so thank you for being in the audience and joining us, being a part of this major event. And we have such a special treat in store for you tonight. This young man that's going to speak in with us has so much to say. So we're going to get right into it. And you know, we always set ourselves right before the show starts. And so what we do at Life, Love, and Wellness, in that preparation stage, as we start with a daily inspirational message, which happens to be come from my writing at revsandy.wordpress.com. And today's message that I'm sharing is called the three P's: power, potential, and possibility. You are created in the image and likeness of God. You have within you everything that you require to live an abundant life. Power of the Creator at your disposal. You can use this power any way you choose. You are victorious in this game of life. Use your power with integrity and wisdom. Bless and serve others. You have potential. The Most High has gifted you with this incredible faculty, and you now get to display it fully. You have the potential to be exactly who you say you are. You have the potential of greatness. It is deep in your genetic genes. Whatever you declare to be possible, it is so. Think the thoughts of possibility. Stretch beyond your comfort zone into the realm of greater and greater possibility. God is there waiting for you to realize this awesome gift. Dare to dream. Dare to create. Dare to be your best. You can have that which you desire. Desire peace for humanity. Desire acceptance globally. Desire unconditional love for the infirmed. Desire complete forgiveness of all hurt and harm done. Use your power to make a positive difference where you are. Utilize your potential to the grand scheme of abundant living. Create possibility in your world. And again, that is called the three P's, and that's from my writing, revsandy.wordpress.com. You can sign up at any time and have those automatically delivered to your emails on a daily basis. And the next most important preparation step that we take is inviting and invoking the spirits and the energies of our ancestors to guide us and to be with us, especially on Tuesday nights on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. It's so important that we acknowledge those energies because they come to serve and guide us and to be a help to us. And so with that, I say we love you, ancestors. We bless you, ancestors, and we're forever grateful to you, our ancestors. Ashe, ashe, ashe. It's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So for tonight, you guys, I have the motivational youth rapper. His name is Gerald. He comes, eager to share his life story with you. And he's a young man, but with such a powerful testimony and a powerful story to share with everyone. And so I know you're going to be blessed tonight. Audience, you are invited to join in the conversation. And as always, all comments are welcome, and every voice is heard with complete acceptance, and there's never any judgment here. So if you're not already in the queue, you can call us at 516-531-9819, and simply by pressing 1 on your dial, it will alert me that you want to talk live on air. And so I tell you, I'm really so eager to get this young man going, but we're going to take a quick break just so that we can get ourselves focused and centered here. Remember, you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We'll be right back with Gerald, and we're going to let this youth motivational rapper give us the dialogue on what he is so geeked about doing and sharing with so many people. His work is powerful, and you guys will be touched by his confidence and the spirit that's within him. We'll be right back.
Sunday afternoon, really couldn't get away too soon. I can't imagine anything that's better. The world is ours and ever we're together. There ain't a place I like to be instead. Down a crowded avenue, to it, anything we like to do. There's always lots of things that we can see. We can be anyone we like to. All those happy people we could meet. Sunday afternoon, really couldn't get away too soon. No, 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 no. Keep on spending sunny days this way. We're gonna talk and laugh our time away. I feel it coming closer day by day. Life would be ecstasy, you and me endlessly. Yeah. On a Sunday afternoon.
All righty, from the archives, that is Groovin' by the Young Rascals. And you know, that's the energy that Gerald has. His energy is just contagious and is so effervescent, but mellow at the same time. It's like you grooving with him. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I wanted to
I like it.
Make sure I said it. There you go.
I like it.
And so, yes, good. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. And as you hear, we've got our guest, Gerald, is on the line. And, you know, we talked a lot in preparation for the show about, you know, who he is and what he wanted to talk about on the show. but it's so much. And so, Gerald, if you could give the audience a snapshot of who you are, and then we'll go back into some of the things that we had talked about as far as what we're going to do here on the show.
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to say, you know, thank you for having me. And those are some beautiful words that you wrote. I didn't know you were writing too. So that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. That was. So first of all, I just want to say good evening to all. To all my reflections out there, you know, who I am is a culmination of all the hardship that I have gone through in my short life, and it is just simply time. So my name is Gerald Guevara. I'm a motivational youth rapper. I'm here for the kids. I am super excited to get in front of these kids and start changing up what they're thinking. So that first and foremost is who I am. I'm from California. I live in the Bay Area, and I work as a personal trainer, and fitness is my current job, and I'm looking to make the transition to motivational speaking and just making a bigger impact on a bigger amount of people. And I kind of realized that the kids is where the best place for me to focus this energy that I have, and that turning my eye towards the kids is going to make the biggest impact possible. I was an at-risk youth. I did go through the juvenile system. I was expelled in 11th grade. I got a juvenile strike. I ended up going to prison at the age of 18. When I went to prison, I fell in love with exercise and fitness and health. I changed my life, starting with myself. And when I fixed my health and my fitness, everything followed suit. So that's kind of like how I woke up from the darkness, is going all the way to rock bottom, then realizing that I have the choice. And I've been out for 7 years and just getting ready to start getting some momentum going. And yeah, that's a quick snapshot right there. I've been reformed and turned my life around, and now I'm just looking to get to kids. Nip it in the bud, get to them before they make those same decisions that I made. There you go.
Thank you, Gerald. And it's so important, and we're just going to carry this thing right on. So it's so important that we do reach the young people, because for generations there has not been enough of this positive energy directed at them with the truth, you know. We will approach the younger people with what we want to think that they need to do and be, but we don't really come to them from a truth standpoint. You know, this is what I've experienced, and this is what you may experience. So, you know, this is another way to look at your choices, or you can do this, you can do that. But people seem to want to talk at children versus listening or having a two-way conversation. Do you think that was part of what you experienced, or?
Oh, so much. So, you know, what it comes down to is simply the lack of options, the lack of choices. You know, when I was that age, there was either one way to go or the other. It was either be a super successful college student or just start selling drugs. I felt like I only had two choices. Right. And so I know that most kids feel like that. They feel like they don't want to do that or that, so they'll just do this. I'm here to tell them that the options and the opportunities and the choices are endless, but you need to stop shooting down your dreams. Sandy, I just had my first time sharing my poetry and rap with some kids today. One of my clients let me in their classroom. Yeah. And, you know, I started the speaking thing thinking that I was going to, you know, thinking about the money, thinking about, you know, being a popular speaker. But today in the classroom, I actually realized what I'm here to do. And it was seeing the kids' reactions, seeing how they started off with like a shield, kind of shutting me out. But by the end of the talk, seeing how much they had opened up, I got people who were quiet and not laughing to end up in full applause and ask questions and involved. And I see that I went in there and I gave them some thoughts that they haven't heard before, which is so important. We need to expose them to the options, you know, to the opportunities.
And with you being a young person as well, it's easier for them to relate to you. And so I'm glad you had that experience.
Oh my God.
girl.
Oh my goodness. when they heard me rap, that really got them perking up, and that really got their attention. It wasn't talking because everybody's trying to lecture them, right? But you know, when I talk to these kids, it's like I'm just talking to myself. So.
Yeah. And so they probably felt that too. You know, like what you were in there is like, man, he's not coming to talk at us. He's coming to talk with us, and that's such a difference because the children have like, you know, those antennas that, excuse my language, you know, they can detect bullshit coming at them and they be just like turned off from it, you know, like, I don't want to hear that, you know, because you have to live this life. You didn't read whatever you telling us from a textbook or something. And so they know when you're being authentic and being real. So that was probably what took down the wall from around them and have them to, you know, to lighten up and
right.
to really reflect and to be with you. Yeah. So how
that's
was
right.
That
that's
you?
Right. It was an amazing experience. I completely had a breakthrough where I realized, and it was just so happened to be on the day that we have this talk, right? So it's very timely. Like, I had just realized why I'm doing this. In the beginning, it was, hey, you know, you're pretty good at talking. Hey, you're pretty good at rapping. Maybe you could make a living out of it. But today, when I saw the looks on those kids' faces and I saw the impact that I made on those one, two, or three that were really engaged, I might have just changed the direction of a kid's life, and the feeling of that is so fulfilling. I realized that is worth everything. That getting in there at a critical time when these kids were 12th graders and this is a continuation school. They've all been expelled. They've all, half of them have been incarcerated still in the system somehow. And to get in there at a time when they're most vulnerable, I realized that's my sauce. That's what I'm here to do. Like, so that's why I got more specific with my niche. It is at-risk youth, specifically kids who have already made the choice that they're not going to go the legal route. Those are the kids that I have the greatest impact on. And there it is. I mean, you could say all of America's youth are at-risk youth at this point, you know?
Yeah, they are basically, but you know, you've narrowed yours down a little bit more, which is really good. And so, because they would probably stand a greater chance of getting into that penal system, which is, you know, another whole industry within itself. But you know, so things are set up, for real big business. what you're targeting that. Population, I think, is really good because most people have turned their backs, and I believe that's what those young guys or those young people are feeling, you know, like, yeah, nobody cares, and so, you know, I go out here and get in trouble, at least I can go in here and find me a new family inside the prison walls and things, and so, you know, a lot of them have given up, so I thank you for what you're doing. That is really, really powerful.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Because I was going to ask you how old they were. So those.
Yeah.
So tell me what now their life would look like. They're in the 12th grade. They've been expelled. They've had a little stint or whatever with the penal system.
Yep.
And so now they're coming out to graduate.
What? Yes. So
you
so
made it to the
11th
grade.
Yeah, I made it to the 11th grade. So the state of mind they're in is that nothing they do right now matters because they've already crossed this threshold. Once you get kicked out of school, you have this different attitude that you're an outcast, right? So almost everybody there has already given up on themselves. That's the key. You know, you can dress it up however you want. You could say that they don't like the school and system. You could say that their family did this, but at the heart of it, these children have given up on themselves. I'm speaking from experience. They don't think that they can accomplish those little things that they want. And today I shared with them that, you know, it's kind of like I read their mind, but it's only because I'm saying what I felt, you know, and I was saying, there is something that you love to do. There is a thing that you like doing, but you don't think you could succeed at it. There is something that you've been doing your whole life. There is something that you think you can, but you're not really sure, and you keep shooting your dream down. I'm here to tell you and give you the pieces to make that happen, because I made that happen. I took that thing that I didn't think I was good at, that thing that I kept shooting my dream down over, like, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, I'm doing it now, and I did three things to make it happen. So today I gave them the story of how I made my dream come true, and then I gave them the keys. The keys are, you have to write down, you have to try to help other people and cooperate with other people, and the third thing, you have to practice. It was just very concrete, very straight to the point. If you do these things, that thing that you think you're not good at is going to be your occupation or the thing that you do. Trust me, I'm a walking example of that, you know? So, yeah, just trying to put the keys in their hands, you know?
Right. And you got it simple, you know? You didn't give them a piece of paper with, you know, like, here you go. You got to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, so
no,
I like that.
Yeah.
We got a couple of callers that would like to share. Call it 360-552. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your contribution to the conversation, please.
Well, hello there. This would be Casey Caban calling you from the southern tips of Fort Worth. Yo, bro, how you doing, man?
What's going on, man? Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah, man. I so admire you. And what I really want to say, you know, I feel privileged that we were able to develop and form a friendship prior to even actually physically meeting. I saw your video, and I recall you doing what you told me, but if I recall correctly, that was kind of like your first performance, first kind of like motivational thing that you were doing out in public. And I remember, and I was inspired by it, and I remember commenting on it, and I want you to know the second time was when you broke out in the event at the symposium.
Yeah.
And I went, right on, brother, look at you go, you know. And so having that experience today with 12th graders in that high-risk category and being able to get your kudos from them, good job, my friend. You know, you're on
very
a roll. I always believed in you from the second I laid eyes on you. I said, this kid, you got it. You got the goods, man. You can deliver. You can make that shit happen. So I'm really happy for you, brother. Big time.
Thank you.
Chase.
Thank you. It was so cool seeing the kids and talking to them today. So thank you.
Yeah, you
thanks,
bet.
Chase.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Indeed.
All right, so we got another caller. Area code 310-658. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your contribution to the conversation. 310-658. Hey.
Who's that?
Hello.
Who that?
Okay, if you had your phone on mute, you might want to take it off. 310-658.
Hello?
Okay, well, we're going to keep going. Yes.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, there's a hello.
Hello.
There's a hello.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Uh-oh.
Yes, I
can.
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Sandy, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can hear you.
Oh, good. Hi, Sandy. This is Shaitan calling.
Hi, Shaitan.
Hello.
Hi,
Shaitan.
Hi, Gerald. Hey, Casey.
How's it going, Shaitan?
Hey, Shaitan.
Everything's going excellent. Gerald, I wanted to ask you, like you said, the students, I'm a teacher, too, so I get, like, how, like Sandy was saying, you can't BS the kids because they'll see straight through it, and that's so true.
Right.
But I wanted to know, when they started to be receptive, did they ask you any kind of questions or, like, engage you in that way, asking questions, trying to get your brain?
Yeah, yeah. So here's the thing with this group of kids, right? These kids have a shield that is so thick, if you threaten to puncture it or lift it up, they will curl up and they will go back into their hard shield, right? So what the teacher did very smartly was she didn't ask them to ask me questions in front of the class. She asked them to call me over, right? And so I went over to them and talked to them one-on-one and two-on-one. And guess what? The conversation was not like any kind of like teacher talking to a student. The conversation was literally, oh, you work out, so how much you bench? Oh, for real? Okay, damn, I used to bench this much. And then the conversation was, oh, where are you from? Which street you from? Oh, okay. So really, I was speaking to them, and the thing is, I can speak their language. I can speak your language, and I can speak Sandy's language, and I can speak those kids' language. I realize that I'm multilingual, and I only know English, right? So it's specifically me embracing the dark sides of myself, the things I tried to shed, the things I tried to move on from when I first got out of prison, when I realized, no, that dark side of yourself is a bridge to the kids. So keeping that little slang, keeping that little bit of pep in my step is really how I'm going to remain available to these kids, not growing up, really holding on to that youth of mine really is how I'm getting to them. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So it's personable. That's wonderful. Congrats mm-hmm. to you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You.
Thank you.
You're
yes.
welcome.
All right.
You know, in the very beginning, Gerald, when I was doing the short introduction that I did, that's the whole statement that I was making was that you had a very confident spirit. So even before the Water of Life Symposium where we met, mm-hmm. you had already determined what your goal in life, what you were going to do. You said that you had made that decision when you were in prison, you know, how mm-hmm. you're going to change your life around. And so that mm-hmm. was the demeanor about you. You know, you have that coming out of you. And so you have a very confident personality, energy, very loving and welcoming, but it's mm-hmm. like, you don't have any room to play in there. You know what I'm saying? You like
Sandy, this is all coming from a place. It was born out of serious doubt. Like the reason that I'm so stern in my intention was because there was so much doubt, and I've overcome that. So what does that say about struggle? What does that say about hardship? It is through the hardship, right? Think about what kind of thoughts I was thinking when I was in prison as an 18-year-old. I was giving up on myself. I was talking down to myself. And the fact that I was able to get through that, and as I accomplish more and I get more done and surprise myself more, that confidence grows. I mean, this was not something that I was born with. This is something that, just like somebody might spend 10 years building their bank account, like I've been sitting here building up my confidence in my dream, and to get specific, building the details of my dream in my mind, because that is a big part of manifestation, is getting down to the nitty-gritty details about what you want to accomplish and getting specific with the visualization. Like, I'm a product of my visualizations, and so the reason I seem so maybe clear and motivated and confident is because I've been dreaming about this for a long time now, you know, years maybe, you know, so I'm just ready, you know, so.
Yeah, well, you're walking. You're living it. You're living your dream.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's what makes it so important. So you were able to see the exercise part in prison. And is that where you changed your eating as well, or was that another step that happened?
No, that's a whole other. You know what? I want to communicate how important this is. You got to do one thing at a time. Like now that I'm 5 years into the fitness field, you got to do one thing at a time. And that's kind of how it worked for me. Like I mastered exercise. Even though I tried to do the nutrition, I didn't really master it until I took my focus off of exercise and said, all right, you're in shape. Now let's like master the nutrition. I didn't really change my eating until I got out of prison and had more of the ability to do that. But even the nutrition thing, it is a day-to-day process. It is ups and downs. It is never perfect, and it's just constant striving for improvement. That's all you can hope for, and that's all you can kind of do, really. Like, honestly, you can only do just daily improvement.
Hmm. You're an old, young, wise person.
Oh, I thank the Lord for the prison sentence. People tell me that I aged, I got 10 years more mature when I got out of prison. My family tells me. So just a blessing, actually.
Well, that's because you took advantage of that time. You did something positive with it and with your life, because it doesn't happen for everybody. And
no.
I know that was one of the things that you shared with me, is that of all the things that you've done, that you're most proud of the not going back by beating that 66% recidivism that that young people, or people period, I guess, go through once they have that experience of being locked up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is a big thing right there. I mean, because that was my Mount Everest. Okay, the 66% recidivism rate is anybody who gets to prison has, no matter what, you have a 66% chance of coming back, no matter what, everybody, total. So in California, it's very high. People who go to prison once end up coming back and back and back. So I was just at that. So at the point where I had realized this, I was halfway through my prison sentence, and I call this my rock bottom. The rock bottom for me was not when I was at my most addicted to drugs. It was not when I was at my heaviest. It was not when I was at my brokest. Rock bottom for me was when I had given up on myself, when I have accepted where I was at. I accepted prison. I accepted. I got to telling myself, this is my home now. I got to telling myself, there's no point in trying to better yourself. You have all the odds stacked against you. I had a juvenile strike from when I was 16. I had the second strike from the prison case. I had two strikes and that 66% recidivism rate. I did the math and I said, Gerald, your life is over. There's no point. Look at all these people around you who are doing life in prison. Why are you better than them? Why do you get to get out and stay out, and none of them? All of these people, this is not their first time in prison. They've all gotten caught up again after they got out. So, you know, I was always very, intelligent, and I was doing the math, and I was like, you got no chance at a life, you know? So if I'm giving up on myself, how many other people are giving up on themselves, you know? And the only thing that made me kind of wake up out of that stump where I was like, this is your life now, was Thanksgiving Day in prison. And I got to tell you this story about Thanksgiving Day in prison, because I experienced something that I have yet to experience out here in the free streets. Okay. And that was on Thanksgiving Day. When I got out of my cell, the officer who opened my door said, "Hey, happy Thanksgiving." You know, when I walked down the stairs, passing by the other inmates, they were like, "Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Say what's up to your family for me." So I'm going into the cafeteria, and everybody is all sitting together. Now, usually we sit segregated, right? Every day the black people sit with the black people, the white people sit with the white people, the Mexicans sit with the Mexicans. That's just the culture in prison. But that day on Thanksgiving, it was mixed. Everybody was sitting together.
Wow.
Everybody had a positive word. And I realized that entire day, nobody had anything negative to say to me. And I have never experienced that out here in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Try going shopping on after Thanksgiving and seeing if people have a greeting for you. People have an elbow for you, you know. So
yeah,
I realized that we are all in this together. Okay, and if I give up on myself, what does that do to my family? I realize that every prison and every system and every juvenile hall that I've ever been to, my family has been there. And at this point, 8 years later, if you ask my mom and dad if they've been to prison, they'll say yes. If you ask me if I've been to prison, I'll say yes. You ask my brothers and my friends if they've been to prison, they'll say yes. My point is, we've all been to prison, not just me. I took my family to prison with me. And just because it's 8 years ago, the memories are the same. I have the same memories of prison that they do. They just didn't live there. They just had to visit me every month. But the point is this, everywhere you go, the people that you love go with you. You don't go to the hospital without them. You don't go to the ICU with cancer without your family going with you. You don't go to juvenile hall without your family going to the court dates with you. So we're all connected. And if I give up on myself, I sentence my parents to life in prison, because they're going to visit me every month. My brothers are going to visit me every month. So if I give up on myself, I say my brothers have to go to prison for the rest of their life. Do I want to do that? And that's what made me get up off my butt and start working my ass off, because it's not about me.
You know, that puts a whole different spin on things right there, because I doubt people would consider that or even think about it, you know, from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad that you had that experience on Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. With that, so that you got to see for yourself what it was that you wanted to do with your life. So that is mm-hmm. truly a blessing. I just want to go back just a couple of steps, though. You were talking about drug use, being in your drug use. Mm-hmm. I know that mm-hmm. People use drugs because of the pain and some emotional traumas that they have going on in their lives, and they can't seem to get a handle on it. So they use drugs to numb the feelings that they have. And mm-hmm. I know there are some folks that have a mindset that, you know, people just they're just throwing their lives away, and they just use drugs because they're weak individuals. And that is like the furthest thing from the truth, mm-hmm. because people are using the drugs to numb themselves to feeling this pain that's experienced with whatever they had going on in their lives. So I just want you to touch on that a little bit if you can.
Yeah.
And
sure.
What made you go that way? Yeah.
Okay, so for me, it wasn't so much the pain. It was social. Like, for me, I used the drugs as a way to connect with people. And you know, at that age, I started drinking and smoking cigarettes at 15. And so, you know, you really have no idea what you want and what you feel, or I had stifled my emotions. I didn't know how I felt, you know. Maybe I was numbing a lot of stuff, but the driving force behind my drug use was so I can hang out with these people, so I can look like this, so I can have this image. And it turned from that to an addiction. It turned from that to using it as a crutch. And so for a lot of the teens, like specifically that niche, right, when it comes to the teens and the alcohol, the teens and the drugs, it is simply because that is what, honestly, that's what everyone is doing. You know, they have no, they idolize, look at who these teens are idolizing. If the person you idolize drinks cough syrup, you're going to drink cough syrup. If the person you idolize runs a mile every day, you're going to run a mile every day. So it's simple. For me, it's simple. It's like these kids have no positive role models, you know, and it's that simple. It's that important.
Well, I'm glad you're stepping up to the plate to help with this. And we had talked a little bit too about young men and sex, but we're going to take a break first. And
okay.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk about that, the thoughts that we had around that. And
right.
I know, right? So
all right,
hold
cool.
on. So we're going to take
ready.
A break. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. You're welcome to come on air and speak live with us at 516-531-9819 and push 1 on your dial. We're going to take a short break just to gather our breath and to get a sip of water, and we'll be right back. Reminds me of Gerald and how he lives his life just easy, you know, like no baggage, not taking anything with him. So welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. Our awesome guest tonight is Gerald, the motivational youth rapper. And Gerald has been really giving us some incredible knowledge and wisdom. What he's using to go in and make a difference and impact the young people's lives. And he had an experience today where he went in and talked with 12th graders who at the high at-risk population, 50% of those 12th graders had already been expelled or having trouble with the penal system. And so he felt connected, and he made a connection, actually, with the young people and was able to make a difference in their lives. Gerald also told us about his experience on Thanksgiving Day in the prison, and that was when he made his decision that he would never go back into that place, because if he did, he was taking his parents and his family with him. And so basically he was sending them to a life sentence in prison. So he changed his life around in that very moment. And before we went on break, I asked Gerald when we came back for him to talk to us. We had a long discussion around his personal testimony. So I'm going to give it to you in the order that he gave it to me initially, and it stops where I want him to pick up. So his personal testimony dealt with drug addiction was number one, gang affiliation was number two, the incarceration at 15 years old, he went into juvenile hall for fighting. And then he said that in the fourth place was the sexual encounters at a young age. and how that impacted his life. So, Gerald, I'm going to let you, if you would, please take it from there and explain to the audience what you mean by that.
Yeah, so I'm glad that I'm going to get this opportunity. This is very important. The gist of it is this. Just like I said with the drugs, it was social. And with the sex, it's no different. Now, my case may be a little rare because, you know, my first time I was a freshman. The first time I had sex, I was 14 years old. Now, when I look back, that's super young. That's very, very, very young. You're a child, you know, and so I look at that and I think about how it affected me. And here's just the truth right now, right for you here. The truth is, it's a social programming mechanism, and keeping any individual in the mind state of having sex via media programming, via music programming, will keep anybody, I don't care if you're a kid or adult, male or female, in an animalistic mindset and unable to access the higher mind. So if you take it to the spiritual terms, okay, if anybody out there is familiar with the chakras and the systems, the energy systems in the body, okay, keeping you thinking about sex keeps you in the lower chakras, keeps your frequency low. And when I look back and I think about how every peer that I had and go to prison and how everybody there is constantly thinking about sex, your mind is going back to it. And just because it's prison doesn't mean nothing. America, you're thinking about sex constantly, constantly. And you can't access your higher-minded thoughts, thinking, while you're still in the lower mind, in the lower chakras. Okay, so in order to access our higher intelligence, we have to let go of the fleshly thoughts. Now, they're important because that's how we survive as a human race. That's how we reproduce. However, to evolve, to make progress, to grow emotionally, we have to put down the thinking about physicality, thinking about the flesh. And so having been exposed to that, I mean, that could very well have been the first rung in the ladder of how my life got turned upside down, and I ended up in prison at 18. You know, once you get your mind focused on sex, your mind is focused on physicality. Your mind is focused on materialism. Your mind is focused on the physical highs. So you can say that it was the first domino, you know, not the drugs, not the gangs, but sex, and purely for the spiritual reasons of keeping you in that lower frequency, lower state. Yeah. So.
Very well said. And you were mentioning that. I thought it was really interesting. While you were in middle school, that the young men were engaged in sexual competition.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so I'll put it down real simply. You just put a spark here. Now, when I was in middle school, the popular movies were things like American Pie. So if you already know what that movie is about, I don't have to say anymore. You know, we are the music. We are the movie. So when you put enough of that kind of exposure in front of the kids en masse, it's no surprise that they start engaging in the same things that they are viewing, right? And I just imagine all the sleepovers, me and my friends staying the night and watching American Pie, where the main goal is to lose your virginity. And so when they keep coming out with those movies like that, and then not only that, listen to the music these days. It's even worse. I grew up in the 90s where they just talked about it a little bit softly. But now they're talking about disrespecting. They're talking about borderline rape. So these kids are not making these decisions. They're being pushed to them. And it just so happens that the kids with the least foundation, the kids with the least foundation at home are the ones who act out. I had a language barrier between me and my parents. There was no communication. There was no foundation. I thought my parents didn't know anything because they didn't speak English. So when you have a weak foundation like that, you're more susceptible to give into the social programming, which is what all of the sex going on with the kids and in the middle schools is.
And, you know, some people, some young folks would probably say that they have a communication problem with their parents and everybody speaks the same language. You know what I'm saying? But because kids have a tendency to think that they can't relate. And I don't know where it comes from because I did it myself. You know, why do we think our parents don't have a clue as to anything about life? And they've already been through all of what we're going through, and it just always amazes me. But you know, it's been around for a long time, and so you guys, your particular family just had a different language, but you were still able
Sandy,
to communicate with one another. So,
Sandy, I just so happen to have an answer for every one of your things because I'm glad you mentioned that. You know what? In 1920. The public educational system, we imported our educational system from Prussia, okay? And this educational system was developed and perfected in America. Now, in Prussia, when they used this system, what happened was they had everybody go to public education in an effort to get them to become mindless workers or mindless soldiers. Now, in Prussia, they had too many people that would just put down their guns and they wouldn't want to fight anymore, and the system broke down. And when they imported it to America, they turned it into something that gets us to believe in the educational system more than our parents. Yes, detaching the kids from their parents was the first step of gaining social control over the educational system. You can't have students who think their parents are smarter than the teachers, right? So that is a very real part of the system, is getting people to think that their teachers, the university, know more than your parents, when in actuality our parents have something that we'll never have, and that's experience.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, you own it. You own it, doggone it. You know, there are viewpoints, as you were talking about the chakras, where I've had a doctor that said, you know, if we start relationships from the third eye, you know, from the higher quadrants of the chakras, and stay there until we get to know a person, and then slowly move down, you know, into the heart chakra and into the root chakra, that relationships would be so much stronger and so much meaningful, you know, versus starting, like you were saying, starting at the lower chakra and then trying to work up. So thank you for saying that and bringing that into the discussion. So we've got another caller, 817. Mm-hmm. 657. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your contribution to the conversation.
Okay, this is William Safir, and just want
to. Hi, William.
Hey.
Hello,
Sandy. Hey, Gerald. Listen, I just wanted to commend my brother. I got a few years on you, brother. I'm 69. A few months out, I'll be pushing. Into my 70s.
Okay.
But I identify with your work, love your work, and as a matter of fact, I won't want to just make it public right now that I want to work with you. We're developing a youth leadership ranch, and we'll be talking about it next week. And you can check in, listen to the program that Sandy's going to do next week. And we'll give a little more detail. But you're right on it. You're right on it. Like I said, there's a few years spread between our age. But
age is nothing. Age is nothing, man. It's frequency. It doesn't matter the age, man. It does not matter the age. I'm all about networking, man. I'm down to work with you. I'm down to work with anybody that's on the same frequency.
Awesome. And that's where I was going with that. You know, you have been successful at your young age. You have been successful in tapping into consciousness. I don't even want to call it consciousness. Knowledge that it's not limited to consciousness, I should say. But you've been successful at tapping into the knowledge coming from your DNA. from the essence of your being, and it probably happened while you were at your lowest point right there in prison.
Yes.
And you mentioned in listening to you, I heard you mention on more than one occasion. You mentioned being connected. You know, the connection that you experienced on that Thanksgiving Day. And the connection you felt with your family, with your parents, in terms of considering ever going back, you know, to that prison environment. But mm-hmm. you have been blessed to be able to connect with yourself, connect with your essential self, in a way that most people don't have an opportunity to do. And that's mm-hmm. where. That's why you're being so impactful now in your relationship mm-hmm. with other young people, because you are coming from that very pure place inside of you, and I just want to commend you for that.
Wow, thank you so much. That I never even looked at it in that way. That's inspiring. Thank you for your words. That I didn't even know I was doing that, but you're right. You're right. I have connected with myself, and it is purely a product of getting outside of the distractions. When I went to prison, all the music stopped, right? The movie stopped, the TV stopped. It was just me and about 200 books and the mirror. And so that allowed me to really reflect and kind of really realize who I am.
And that's probably one of the strongest messages you could get to your audience, to those young people that you're getting in front of. You know, that what happened to you when you were able to connect, you know, with yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's mm-hmm. That's the saving force for them, regardless of what society has in store for them in the movies, in the conditioning and educational systems,
mm-hmm.
and all of the above. Their saving force that everyone has is the guidance system that's clocked into their very essence of their being and their very DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And they get. And even the drug scene, the sex scene, all of that, you know, even the gang scene, it's trying to find themselves on the outside somewhere.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, but
that's what I have. Yeah, cool.
Yes, you have a powerful message, brother. You have a powerful message to convey to them, the vital importance, and you're a witness to the transformation that can be made. If we will take the time, no matter what age we are, to connect with,
mm-hmm.
with our own inner selves.
Mhm. Mhm. That's right. That's right. It's beautiful.
Yes. 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 So I just wanted to make that observation. And thank you.
You know what? Like, let's hook up. Let's work together. Let's do something. I'm always down.
Yes. Yes. For sure.
All right.
For sure. Okay.
All right.
Well,
cool.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. And when we talk about this is what we do on Life, Love, and Wellness is we talk about subjects that are not normally talked about openly, and we make it be like a conversation Gerald and I are having, like just sitting around, and you guys are just, you know, like eavesdropping into what we're talking about, because that's the way that we're going to get the message versus it being, you know, constrained and so orchestrated that there's no room for authenticity to come in. I just want to let you know that this is just flowing. It's not rehearsed, and it can never be rehearsed when you allow the authentic self to be present in a discussion, and so that's where we are. And so I welcome the discussions and the people's comments, the callers' comments, the audience being a part of what we're doing here. And so I want to back up a minute again, Gerald. And so we met at the Water of Life Symposium this year at the first ever one to be held. And we have another one coming up next year, 2018. It's going to be in Las Vegas. And for
mm-hmm.
information to register early, this is for the audience, you can go to the website at www.waterofliferadio.com. wellnesssymposium.com. It's going to be September the 21st through the 23rd. And go on and register early for this outstanding event. This is where Gerald and I had an opportunity to meet each other. We were able to see immediately that we were of like minds. There's so much that happens in that whole process of urine therapy. So I'm going to go from that. We can talk about that if you like, Gerald. We can keep going. Mm-hmm. You
I'm ready to go. You know,
go ahead, baby.
This is important. This is important. Okay, so we're going to switch gears here because what urine therapy represented for me was the culmination of a spiritual practice. Okay, so I was not spiritual at all. You see me, I'm addicted to drugs. I'm buying guns. I'm an alcoholic at 18. So I was the last person you would ever think of as spiritual. But I was blessed to have a brother who has been meditating since he was a teenager, who has been into spirituality since he was very young and never let go of it. So when I finally got to prison, he started sending me the books, sending me the spiritual books and sending me books on meditation. And honestly, my fitness journey is a spiritual one because it was the meditation that got me to kind of start to exercise and start to care about my body. And so what happened was after I got out of prison, through the next couple of years, my brother was just slowly walking me down this path. And, you know, he finally admitted to me that he was practicing for years before he exposed me to it, but he was waiting till I was ready. And this is a key point about urine therapy is people are only going to accept it, try it, read about it when they are ready. And when I was ready, he exposed me to it. Now, just like anybody else that would hear it for the first time, I said, "You're crazy. Get out of here with that. I'll meditate, but I'm not drinking my pee, man." And so it was about 6 months of this where he would just mention me, send me a YouTube video. You know, he would send, and this is where he got me. He sent me a YouTube video of somebody that I liked, somebody that I admired, talking about urine therapy, and he knew he had me, right? Because he knew he had me because now here's this person that I like and that I listen to talking about the thing, right? So I dove in. I tried it, and you know what? My first experience is something I'll never forget. It was an immediate knowing that it was right. It was not an intellectual gymnastics. That's what we do when we first hear urine therapy. We start doing the intellectual gymnastics of, well, but this doesn't make sense, but this is waste. And what's happening is the programming is fighting the inclination. The programming is fighting the internal voice, right? Your voice is like, maybe you should do it. You know, it's right under your nose. Maybe this is the key. Look at all those people. But the programming is going and saying, oh, no, it's waste. Oh, no, what are people going to think? What is your mom going to say about this? What are your followers going to think, right? And for me personally, the only reason I still don't go public about it is because I sincerely believe that when people are ready, there is no arguing or anything of that needs to be done. When people are ready, they're open. Okay, so it was a big thing for me. And, you know, when I started, I was already pretty healthy. Are we good? Good and clear? All right, yeah. So, yeah, when I first tried out, I was already healthy, but I wasn't emotionally healthy. And this is what I shared at the Water of Life Symposium. Now, I was in physical health, sure. I had, you know, a low body fat and I was strong, but, you know, what urine therapy represented for me was a breaking down of the ego because along with all of your preconceived notions that you have to let go in order to start this practice, there's also a lot of ego that ends up getting dissolved with all the other toxins and backups that we have in our body. So do we have backed up emotions, backed up feelings, backed up egos that hold us back. And so for me, it allowed me to open my heart. And that's huge. That's more than any diet or exercise plan can do. It was stepping beyond all of the preconceived notions, all of them, because that's what you have to do to embrace this practice. And when I did that, it just, when you break everything down, what's left is you, you know?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that it's powerful, yeah. And it will take you to a place that you've never been before. So
yeah, I still haven't done the fast like you have.
Well, you know what? I'm going to do another one in December, so let me know if you want to join me because I'm ready.
Man,
I want to end this
okay.
year, yes.
Mm. Ooh, that sounds, you know. Yeah, no, I'll do as many days as I can with you.
Okay,
yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah.
All right.
We
got to
start small,
I'm
right?
Starting for the first.
I've never done a 30. That's right. That's good. So, here's the other piece of the whole urine therapy thing. I mean, we don't have to go ahead and start listing the benefits. This is an internal experience. You can hear what you want, but those preconceived notions are going to stand strong. So if that's a personal thing, I don't have to start listing why you should. But I will list that urine therapy is only one out of many cancer cures that are being slandered as poison that are being stifled and suppressed. So urine therapy is only one on a long list of things that we are actively being taught that are bad for us. You guys, truth doesn't need to be reinforced. Only lies do. Only lies need to be reinforced. And so there's
that's
about
true.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things I have written down here that cure cancer but are being actively suppressed. As in, you go Google or you go turn on TV, they're going to say bad stuff about these cancer cures.
Right.
And so let's go over that.
Right.
List,
well, I know
right?
Share your list with us.
Yeah. So I just want to go over it real quick. These things are things that in the wrong dosages, they can harm you, but in the right dosages, they can cure cancer, and they are curing cancer, right? So urine therapy is one. The second thing is the terpentines or the tree sap or the concentrated tree sap or terpentines, right? Right now, if you Google what terpentine is, they'll tell you that it's paint thinner. But in the right ratios, in the right dosages, this stuff is killing cancer and killing parasites, curing people. Next, MMS1 or Miracle Mineral Solution, right? Basically, what it is lemon juice and salt. And they figured out the proper dosages that if you take this solution, if you Google MMS1, that it will also cure almost any disease. The next thing is fasting. We already know what's being said about fasting. Fasting is you're going to starve to death, right? You better not do that. But, you know, the truth is already coming out on fasting. And what's next? Raw fruit. Raw fruit has been getting slandered for years. People think that too much fruit is bad for your liver. People think that too much fruit is too much sugar. People think that too much fruit, it will make you fat. I'm here to say I eat 70% raw fruit and 30% cooked vegan food, and I'm in the best shape of my life. So the raw fruit is the other thing. And then sun gazing and earthing. Now, people still wearing them sunglasses and thinking that the sun is bad for you and that the sun is going to make you blind. The sun is going to burn your eyes. I'm telling you right now, sun gazing is healing people. It's that sunlight, you know, that vitamin D. So, yeah, that's just like a short list right there, but
yep.
there's a lot.
Well, that's a good list, and you made an excellent point, Gerald, when you were talking about how we've been conditioned to believe that these things will only cause us more harm. But I'm being told it's happening in my family where more and more people are really having some awful reactions to the medications that's being legally prescribed by a doctor, and you know it's taking life from people, and so that's one of those subjects, man, that you know we could talk about all night long
because we have given
our power away. Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, like you were talking earlier about the educational system would best serve itself by making sure that the student didn't think the parent was as smart as the teacher. Well, it's the same thing with the medical. You know, our bodies are so divinely made that we know what we need. It's given to us, you know, in our DNA, our royal DNA. And yet and still, we will make a doctor have more intelligence over our own bodies then, you know, we will give to it. So thank you for bringing that point up a little earlier. We got another caller, 619-884. You want to give us your name and your contribution to the conversation, please?
Yeah, how you doing? This is Ali calling from out here in San Diego, California. And
hey,
what's going on?
How you doing, you know? I seen you had the brother on the phone, so I had to call and say one people, one P.
One people, one voice, baby.
Yeah, I said one people, one P, though. You know what I mean? I know it's one people, one voice, but I said, let me tell him one people, one P, you know. So I love you. I love you, brother. And
you too, man. Thank you.
Thank God that we got brothers out here that's trying to, you know, do something worthwhile instead of complaining about what's wrong with the world. Because when you wake up in the morning and you go to outside or even online or wherever it is, it seems like 95% of the people complain about what's wrong with the world instead of going out there and doing something to change it, instead of running their mouth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you for doing that and keeping it going, man, because we on the front line, man.
That's truth, man. That's truth. And when I started to look at it, thank you, man. When I started to look at it just like that way, that this is a battlefield. This is a war, okay? And it's not with guns. It's not with fighting. It's with frequencies. It's with vibrations. These kids are getting inundated with the wrong frequency, the wrong vibration, and it made it real clear to me of what I need to do. This isn't about me rapping. This isn't about me showing off. This is about me getting in line in the fight, getting in the battle, all right? And my sword is the art. My sword is the rap, and that's how I fight the negative frequencies with the weapons that I was given. We all have some kind of weapon, you know, and it's just about getting in the fight and getting going, because this is a war and we're losing right now. You know, the negative frequencies, the lower vibrations are winning. So that's how I think about it. That fires me up so much that it's that real, you know.
Thank you, Ali, for calling.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, amen, amen. You know, sometimes I like to be quiet, because when you say everything that needs to be said, sometimes folks don't need to say nothing. They just need to kick back and say that's it.
That's it.
I know, right?
It, man.
I get it. I get it. And so, Gerald, on your items that you listed or identified for cancer cures, I find it interesting that I want to say that I don't necessarily want to be politically correct, but so just like the prison system is big business, they call it the prison industrial complex for a reason. The same thing is true with medicine, and so when you bring the truth around. And you talk about these different items that you were. I know turpentine was used with my mother and my dad, in their day coming up, it was applied to the skin and to the body for certain ailments and things that they had going on. So what we're doing is actually we're returning to the knowledge that we already had about what can heal the body. I wrote MMS1. I know it was salt and something that you said on that one. I'm going to check that one out. And fasting is good just for your health in general. See, one day a week or one day a month, but just giving your digestive system an opportunity to rest. You know, we give every system a resting period. We go to sleep and like that. So we got another caller, and then Casey and William, I'm going to open your lines back up. Casey, watch the background noise. That's why I had to put you back on mute. But we have a call on 817-308. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and the contribution for the conversation, please.
First, I want to say hello, everyone. This is Art Stone, and I'm down here in Fort Party Worth, Texas.
How's it going, Art?
And, hey, has anyone considered, I've been listening to the call and vibration, that's just been, it's been overwhelming in the call. Has anyone considered taking vibrations? There are actually, how do you say, electronic equipment out there on the market right today that can dial up resonant frequencies of tumors, diabetes, different oddities in the body. But the critical path is that there's a resonant frequency for everything that you're looking at right now. Each of us, there's a resonant frequency for it. And once you consider that and consider the fact that these anomalies that created in our bodies can be, how do you say, obliterated by vibrational frequencies? Has anyone looked into that? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm not a scholar who's into this, but I've researched enough about radio frequency waves to know that this could very well be the driving force, as in the radio frequency waves that we're being exposed to set the environment, and then the foods, and then the things that are external, the physical things like the foods, the chemicals, the toxins, go ahead and get their way once the radio waves weaken our organs. So what it is with the new 5G that is being rolled out nationwide, there are so many different sizes of waves coming out of that device. And when it comes to the width of each wave, when it reaches the same width as a certain organ, it starts to affect and vibrate that organ and bring that organ to the wrong vibration. So when we have multiple layers of different size waves, 5G represents like all kinds of different size waves. And I don't know how to explain it better than that, but it's just that we are being inundated with this radio frequency. And as you know, everything is sound and everything is vibration. And I totally agree with you. We are being it is affecting us in a big way. And I do think it has something to do with cancer, because you can take one civilization that has no technology and one civilization that has all of the technology and give them the same food and go ahead and see which civilization develops those tumors, develops those diseases. And I suspect that it's going to be the one with all the radio frequency waves being, you know, thrown all over the place.
I put a telephone up to my ear, a cell phone, because my insides, man, they just quiver and shake and do all kinds of things. So my cell phone is always going to be on speaker. I'm sorry, there's somebody with background noise. So my phone is going to always be on speaker, or I'm going to have it away from my body, because it has such an effect on it. So I'm shutting people down right now. I had added that. Okay. So the background noise really hard. So
So building on that topic, we talk about urine therapy. Now, this goes to show how much more important and viable the solution of urine therapy is, because if you do enough research into urine therapy, you'll realize that the best effects actually come from the skin. People report more profound, visible effects from going through the massaging the skin route. Now, what I think that has a lot to do with is our protection from these radio waves, or even healing from these radio waves and what's actually happening, because again, the skin is our biggest organ. So then the skin is the thing that gets affected by radio frequencies the most. Topical use on the skin, there is so much we can do to counter these radio waves. I mean, of course, turning off your Wi-Fi device at night. The second thing is take a digital detox. I mean, we talked about fasting from food. Well, can you fast from the screen? Can you fast from Facebook? Can you fast from the phone? Can you turn it all off and go to nature? Because that's where the healing is going to happen, right? And especially from frequency waves. Get your shoes off, get your socks off, get walking out into the wild and get away from it so that you can tune in. And Sandy, the fact that you felt your organs or were speaking to you when you put the phone to your face, that just shows how in tune you are with your body. And we are not. We are desensitized to our bodies. So just want to say that.
Enough that everybody thinks I'm so strange. I'm like, don't you feel it when you put that up to your body? And everybody be like, no, there's nothing going on. So I just like, okay, so I keep it to myself. But I'm thankful, Gerald. I'm thankful that I have that. And I believe a lot of my sensitivity to what goes on around me and how I can relate to it at that deep, deep level, I directly related to being on urine therapy for as long as I have. It's 4 or 5 years for me now. And it's just like I am so in tune, you know, like there's no separation between me and it, whatever that it is, you know.
Yes.
And I know,
So ultimately then, if you are still in this conversation listening to this point and you've stomached all we said about urine therapy, then you can know that the number one thing that it does is open up the connection between you and yourself. Like we were just talking about how I was blessed enough to go to prison so that all the distractions can stop so that I can see who I really am. Well, urine therapy is the fast track to find who you are tonight.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
So I have a question. That urine, does it make a difference if it's aged or not? I'm curious.
I'll let Casey take that one.
A couple of things I'd like to say, especially about the 5G, because I think this is an important aspect of the conversation, is that it's already being rolled out in test markets, and it's already proven by its patents and its operative data that it can actually it can change your DNA. So by knowing this, what it's capable of producing is a super high frequency and a in mind control. And just like with a sound cannon, you know, or a water cannon or anything else, this will go right into the pineal. This will manipulate through the pituitaries. This will hit the sensitive zones. That's why anything that is calcified, and this is where the aged urine comes in the strongest, because the decalcification is a critical aspect to turn the body around for its frequency levels, okay? So by doing the urine therapy and decalcifying the pineal and the pituitary, along with the other bones, arthritis, all of these things become high-frequency material because they crystallize. They become crystallized joints. They're supposed to be liquid. Our joints are supposed to be liquid. Our glands are supposed to be liquid. They're not supposed to have all these blocking where you think about coronary problems, heart attacks, and hardening of the arteries, and all of these things. They all base down to the ossification and the calcification, which all comes with the lung, with the fluoride, with the water, with the GMOs, it's so buried deep in myth. It's all mythological. It's not, none of this is nutrition by what we've been told or led to believe. So urine therapy absolutely unconditionally will alter and give you the best defense system that I found, that I personally have found. Now, and I had a mass of chronics. I've gotten off all meds. I mean, I'm 64, and that's why I want to say, you know, big shout outs to Gerald, because at your age, you're going to have a great opportunity to reach people and turn them around. You have so much wisdom at your age, you know,
to understand
the difference. Yeah, and to be paying attention to this stuff, because, you know, I'm 64 and I've paid attention. I, you know, got up early and stayed late and paid attention. But, you know, who you're going to reach, and you are right on the press, you know, because this is the new generation. So you're right at that forefront of major warriors. How many warriors you can bring into the fight that are all coming with their wisdom, their creativity, and their knowingness of wellness, of their self-worth, of their self-love. And you're bringing that message, my brother. And I really want to give you kudos for that. You know, you're working that shit. You're doing a really great job. You've got
so much knowledge, man.
Yeah, you're hammering it, man.
One other question about that urine. What you just talked about, now we're talking about ingesting as opposed to putting it on the body. Yes or no?
Both. Okay. Now I do my fresh urine every morning, and I loop on variants, which means I drink the pee periodically in the day. the age stuff really, the more it gets aged, the more incredible it becomes, because it's full of enzymes, of stem cell enzymes. So it multiplies, right? The older it gets, the more it multiplies. So by putting it in the body rub, the older the age, the better it is. And the same with putting it in the hair, the ears, you know, all that. Now, ingesting it, here is where the shift. Now, it's okay to ingest. Some people insist that it's not okay, but I guarantee you it is okay, and here's the differential. Be prepared for the detox, because it's like doing an enema from the top. When you start drinking, especially older stuff, be wise, be cautious, be careful, because it's powerful. It won't hurt
be
you,
close to a toilet.
But it may flush you faster than you're prepared for. You know, these are serious shooters. So that's just knowledge. That you know, that's experiential knowledge right there. You know.
Well, thank you, for addressing that. And we're coming up. We have about 5 minutes left. So I want to return back to Gerald for just a second. Gerald, you gave me some of your goals as we talked earlier, and in preparing for the show. And so I'm gonna have to. I got to close people down because I got too much background noise. And so your goals were, first off, you wanted to get into the schools, and then second, get into the detention centers. You want to write a book and then continue with your artistic expressions and creativity with your music. And then your fifth goal was to do a music video. So you've already made one connection tonight with William and the Youth Leadership Ranch. And so, you know, you've already made some connection. Would you give the audience contact information for you so that anyone listening to the show tonight or at a future time can come back and reach out to you directly and help you along with the goals that you've set?
Yes, okay, so I have a few different contacts here, depending on what the person is looking for. If you are interested in following me on all of a more all-around approach of everything we talked about, you know, health-wise, the Instagram is based in the plants with underscores. So it's Instagram at based in the plants. So that's just my all-around Instagram, where I just post constant information, constant trying to wake people up. Now, the contact for speaking and for getting me in front of those kids is ycommittofit@gmail.com. Just spell it out. It's spelled fully how it's spelled. ycommittofit@gmail.com. I am open for collaborations. I'm open for creative collaborations, any type of networking. I'm open to get educated, anything. If you want to contact me, it's ycommittofit@gmail.com. As you know, as soon as we get done with this, I'm just going to keep pushing forward, trying to get myself in front of people and trying to just get more opportunities.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I certainly appreciate your willingness and eagerness and the energy that you bring to the world, not just the younger people, but for us older younger people, too. But you're so awesome. You're so incredible, and you have learned and you've studied, and you have proven yourself to be knowledgeable of the different topics that we spoke on tonight. So I truly, truly appreciate you for all that you bring and your willingness to serve and to help the younger generation out. So I just want, again, to remind the audience of the Water of Life Symposium. We're having the second annual next year, 2018. September the 21st through the 23rd in Las Vegas. And you can go on www.waterliftsymposium.com. Register early, and we'll see you there. You'll get some of Gerald that you're going to be speaking or performing.
Oh, yeah, put my name on the website. I need my slot. I need a slot. I'll kick the whole thing off. I don't care. but if Anthony, if you're listening, go ahead and put my name on the roster. Sign me up anywhere you want. I'm ready to give a talk over there. That's actually why I gave the poem. All right. Thank you, Sandy.
We want to thank everyone that called in and added their voice to the conversation tonight. Casey, Shatan, William, Ali, and Art, we love you. We bless you. And we'll see you next week where we'll be talking about the Youth Leadership Ranch. And you guys have a great life and be well.
Bye. Bye.